Good morning, and welcome to Vantage Point, the broadcast ministry of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. This is Pastor Reggie Lawrence, pastor of St. Mark's, and I want to welcome you to a brand new week and to Vantage Point. Over the last several weeks, we've spent some time with Bible personalities. We've discussed spiritual warfare. We've taken a look at the kingdom of God. And now I'd like us to take a more deliberate look at a discrete passage of the scripture. And that discrete passage is the epistle of James. We're going to spend some time looking at the epistle of James. Now, I love God's word, but I don't pretend to be a Bible scholar. I use as many resources as I have available in preparing our talks, and I encourage you to do the same. There are many commentaries. There are books on Bible history and the like and other sources that can help enrich our study in God's Word. I myself prefer my favorite commentary is the Bible Exposition Series, a commentary in five volumes by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. I use that commentary and several others in preparing our discussion, and I'm encouraging you to do the same. We want to get the most out of our study in God's Word. The epistle of James, the letter of James, was probably written by James, the brother of Jesus Christ. And as we go to this letter, we see that he introduces himself in verse 1. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and I'd like you to follow along at home. In James chapter 1, and verse 1, he says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. James, again, is probably the brother of Jesus who came to faith in Christ after having met his brother or his half-brother after the resurrection. And his faith was stimulated to the extent that he became a leader of the early church. This same James, the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, became the overseer of the church at Jerusalem, a church that was the rock-bottom foundation of the church and had such a great role to play in throughout the book of Acts, for example. And he was a very wise and prolific leader of the church there at Jerusalem. And he had much to say to that church and to others through this letter. The letter was actually written to the 12 tribes, he says, which are scattered abroad. The 12 tribes, of course, refers to the children of Israel, and them being scattered abroad is the diaspora, or them having been dispersed abroad. This was part of God's plan to spread the gospel. These are Christian Jews who have gone into other countries around the known world, and this letter from James to them was aimed at helping them to grow in their Christian faith. In fact, if we were to isolate a main theme of this letter from James, it would be Christian maturity. James is leading the people toward Christian maturity. He uses the term perfect several times in the letter, and that word perfect, it speaks of maturity. So let's go beyond verse 1 and look at this first passage. I'm going to read passage chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. James here deals with our approach to trials, how to deal with troubles and trials. Now, we all have these troubles and trials, and so this is, in my view, a very practical passage out of a very practical letter, because we are all either in a storm, going into a storm, or coming out of a storm. Trials and tribulations and troubles are a part of our life. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. You will have trouble in the world. But James deals here with the way to deal effectively when we have troubles. I'm sure that if I could take a survey of the listening audience, I would find just a great mountain of trouble and trial that besets us on every side. Some cases economic, some cases relational, some having to do with our employment, some having to do with our living conditions, some having to do with our spiritual nature. But regardless of the source or regardless of the area in which we have troubles, we all have troubles. But James takes this approach. He starts with attitude. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Notice what he says. Count it all joy. He didn't say it was joyful. When we are in trouble, when we are going through some difficulty, when we are facing some circumstance that we would rather not face, when something happens that is painful to bear, that is difficult to sort out, it may not be joyful, but he said to count it as joyful because God is able to work in and through that situation to our advantage and to our profit. So we start with this attitude. Our victory begins with how we think. There is an attitude towards trouble that guarantees victory over trouble. And that attitude takes into consideration the end result of the trouble. We know, he goes on to say, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. We will come out of this with, at the very least, with patience. If we learn to wait, if we learn to endure, if we learn to love, if we learn to do good in the face of evil, in the face of trouble, in the face of trial, this is a way in which God develops within us patience, develops within us that element of spiritual maturity, which is so valuable, not only to us personally, but so valuable to the church in general. We all remember our grandparents and parents who, as we look back in retrospect, we know they must have been going through some difficult years and difficult times and difficult circumstances. Yet they were able to convey to us who were younger at the time a sense of joy and a sense of fulfillment and a sense of purpose. They were able to take the bitterness of life and to convert it into something sweet for those who were around us. That was this process of counting it all joy. I imagine what it must have been like to live. My grandparents lived in the South, had a farm in Virginia, and to live in the South in a time and a place where you were never respected as an adult. My grandfather was always a boy in the eyes of some, and they were never given the advantage of full citizenship. And yet, that was one of the happiest places for me to grow up as a child. It was one of the happiest sets of experiences. And what it must have taken for them to convert the bitterness of what was happening in the world around them and to make it something sweet for those for whom they were caring and those for whom they were nurturing. It was no less than the faith of God put to work in this way, counting it all joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Their faith was in God. Their faith was that God will bring them through. Their faith was in the fact that God would care for them and pass on to future generations the blessings of their faithfulness and their faith, and that they would see in us, that is their children and grandchildren, the fulfillment, the vindication of their faith in God. Count it all joy. It's an attitude. The first thing we do in difficult times and circumstances is adopt an attitude of victory, that victory is possible, that victory is inevitable if we belong to God, because God fights the battles for us. He asked that we stand. When we talked about spiritual warfare, we know that our duty in spiritual warfare is to stand, that we will, having done all, we are to stand against the wiles of the devil. We are to put on the full armor of God and stand in faith and stand in courage and stand in victory. Focus on the positive effects of enduring trouble, which is at least the and development of patience within the character of the Christian. James is, as I've said, this letter is one of the most practical passages of the Bible, in my estimation. And he begins here on a good footing. He begins right where we are. If we are in any difficulty, if we sense any difficulty or going through any kind of storm, he tells us the mental attitude that we need to have, and that is count it all joy. He goes on to say, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, that is to say mature, that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. We'll go on from here tomorrow. I hope you're beginning to sense how practical James is. He doesn't leave many stones unturned. This is Pastor Reggie Lawrence for Vantage Point. I'm pastor of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. And until we get together again, keep looking up.
From Security Square to your heart, your inspirational and gospel station, Spirit 1400.